Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast of Tuning In. We have our co-host Julian, myself, and our special guest Moody E46.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Not too bad. Julian, do you have questions?
Of course. Yeah. I have lots of questions.
Let's go, I'm ready.
So we'll start it off hot. What's your dream car?
So my dream car is actually a really old BMW. It's the 1986 850 Ci.
850 Ci, yeah. The one with like the... It's kind of
the pop-up lights.
Yeah.
It has a McLaren engine in it, basically. It's like a V12.
That's pretty cool.
That's like some crazy shit. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. I also have another... Okay, so like if you could like build a car versus say like have like a stock car, like would they differ? You know what I mean? Like if you could...
You mean like
you know what I mean? If you had to keep the car stock, would that still be your dream car? Or if you could like build a car...
No, as long I don't care. As long as it's that 850 Ci, okay. I don't give a shit.
Stock, bone
stock. Stock, not stock. I'd rather keep it stock because it's a classic.
Right.
I'm more into classic cars than like a new Lambo or something.
Right. Okay.
Stuff like that.
I might already know the answer to this, but if you had to like build a car, what car would that be?
The 850 Ci.
Like a full build? No, honestly. I would stick to an E46.
That's what I was guessing.
I just wanted to finish the build so bad before, because I got into an accident with mine before, and I just wanted to finish that build so bad. But if there's ever any build that I do want to do like to the fullest, is an E46, because they don't have a turbo, so.
How far were you into your build?
It was all cosmetics.
Cosmetics, okay.
Basically done all the cosmetics. So I had the wide body kit. The wheels were getting ordered. I was going to get the air suspension on it. And I did like the wrap and everything was done. But that was almost there, but...
You did the wrap yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was like the snake pattern wraps, with the flower.
And that's what you do for a living?
That's what I do, yeah. I wrap cars.
Okay.
So.
And whereabouts is the shop located?
So right now, because of everything that's going on, I don't have like a designated shop. Okay. I had one opened up, but I realized like it's not the easiest, obviously, starting up. And I'm sure everyone in the car scene would know if you're a mechanic or a detailer or whatever it is wrapping that you're doing. It's not the easiest, especially with COVID and all that stuff going on. So I had a shop, but I'm like, I'd rather just stick with mobile work right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I did for quite a bit of time. So like I was going between shops to wrap cars until like I get everything settled and have people, you know, working in a good space. Then that's when I'll jump back into actually like a shop.
It's not easy. It's not easy working in a shop.
No, it's definitely not. It's hard, like with rent and the supplies and, you know, material and running it and just everything.
So,
it's not the easiest.
That brings me to a sort of offside question here. I've worked with people who do wrapping for a living and I've seen some pretty interesting and odd requests.
Yeah.
And some, you know, can you do it for this much or that much? So what's the weirdest request that you've had somebody come to you with in terms of wrapping their vehicle or doing something cosmetic to their vehicle?
In terms of pricing or just looks?
A little bit of both.
Oh man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I would say not the weirdest, but the worst is when they choose like a really cheap material. Like very bad.
Like
and
vivid?
They're like just... Yeah. Are we naming?
Name drop. My apologies, but yeah. In my experience, Vivid has been difficult to work with.
I think any decent rapper will tell you that Vivid is not the best. But yeah, that's like the most odd request. It's like, oh, I'll pay you this much. I have the material myself. You know, can you just do it for me? And I'm like, no, man. Like, do you want me? I could do it for you, but I mean, I wouldn't even do it because I don't want the wrap to look like shit, and then it's gonna come back to me. But at the same time, I'm putting all this effort in.
Well, you're an artist, right? And it's best when like, you let the artist do their job.
Their job, the way they
without limitations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what's the point of me putting it on? Then a week off, you're going to come back and complain about it.
Yeah, we're 3 months.
Also, like, they ask who did it, and then your name's attached.
Exactly.
Terrible rap job.
Exactly.
And you had no choice yeah. what to do.
Oh, I've seen that before where like I know a good rap, like someone who's very good at doing raps, you know, like I've seen a car that's been wrapped by them and I'm like, oh my. And it's, well, it's, you know, the material that's used and...
100%. Even like some of the more used ones right now was Inozotech. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar
with that. I love Inozotech personally.
I hate it.
Yeah,
and
really?
I don't know how they do it.
It's hard to work with.
It's really thick.
Yes.
Really, really thick.
It's very hard to work with.
Especially like the chrome colors is just insane.
So hard to work with.
Yeah.
I have
very,
a question. Yes. Should, if you have never wrapped a car before mm-hmm. and you want your car wrapped, but you don't want to spend what, like, is it 3K to get a good job done?
25 to 35.
Yeah. Around there. Reasonably, no? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for an average.
Yep.
Should you even try wrapping it yourself? Or is that just, nah?
Not really. Like, I wouldn't see a point because then you're just wasting
the material.
How much
is like vinyl?
It's not cheap. It's gone up a lot.
It's not. Like, for a yeah. consumer, just like someone to buy it yeah. without a supplier and everything, you're looking at $1,000
right.
for
least,
the material, for good material. Yeah. I mean, you could go with Vivid and buy it for like $600.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
don't,
like...
Don't waste $1,000
exactly. on
the
material. You pay the price
or
you pay it twice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if like you're spending $600 for material, which is the cheapest, or let's mm-hmm. say even $500, you're still putting in a good amount of money. So why not put that little extra bit there? And just know that that shit's gonna stay on your car
yeah.
for like a year minimum.
And not lift. Yeah.
And not
or
lift.
Bubble.
No.
Oh, that's the worst.
It'll look like it's gonna look bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mainly.
No, for sure.
Oh, here's a fun question. What's the ugliest car that you've had to wrap?
Oh, boy.
No name drops.
The ugliest car. I'm really not a fan. I'm gonna get a lot of shit for this, but I'm not a fan of Teslas. Whatsoever.
Yeah.
I hate.
Neither
I hate
does our
Teslas.
Good friend Safe, the owner
well,
here.
He
used to have one.
I can't stand them. I think they look horrible.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like
you
Elon
get
Musk.
A lot of them though, right?
I do.
Yeah.
They're
you
actually
do,
the right? easiest, like one of the easiest cars to wrap because they're so like.
Simple.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the trunk is a little bit hard because it curves, but.
One piece or two piece?
It depends.
Yeah.
Because you have like the smaller Tesla models and then you have like the Model Y and the Model X, I think.
Yeah, the X is a bigger one.
They're bigger. So it depends. But yeah, I would say Teslas are pretty ugly.
Do you also hate like Polestar?
Polestar.
You hate EVs in general?
Yeah. And, oh, I, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just Tesla.
No.
It's,
okay.
it's nothing against
just
Elon Musk.
Just the future in general.
No.
She despises the future.
There's
a trend here.
Yeah.
I think like Teslas are... They're just too much of a mix of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even like the way the cars are made, they have like parts of different manufacturers in them. Yeah. They have like Mercedes parts, Dodge parts, just different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about it.
Kind of like a Maserati.
Yeah, basically.
A little bit of everything thrown into one. Yeah.
Basically.
The interior of a Dodge Journey
yeah,
and the
EV
engine of a Ferrari.
EV should be a, I don't know. They say gas cars should be banned. I feel like EV cars should be banned instead.
Yeah. Well, the cost and the environmental impact of those batteries.
Is, yeah.
That's a big
thing. They say it's going to be like worse than the impact on fuel, but I don't know.
But
it's
if you've driven one, like a dual motor, they're a lot of fun.
They are, but they're electric.
You know what? I have to say, when I was driving your car downtown last night,
yeah.
and I wanted to just floor it, but I know I couldn't because a cop would have heard me 10 blocks away. I wish maybe I had a
That's
Tesla because I could
yeah.
go really fast and no one would know.
I remember this one time I was wrapping a Tesla
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to turn it on and I was like, where's the key? Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Am I mm-hmm. supposed to swear here?
No, it's okay.
I don't know.
No worries.
I couldn't find the key. There was like no button, nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I asked someone and they're like, oh, it's a card. You just got to scan a card on the side. I'm like, what?
And swipe the card.
What
yeah.
What the hell is that?
Yeah. It's the future.
Yeah.
I saw a guy made like a little Tesla ring. So he put that little chip that's in the card, the RFID or whatever it is, in this ring that he just wears on his finger. He just taps his ring on the car and it unlocks and he taps his ring on the thing and it starts.
So you're telling me you wouldn't take a Plaid, a Tesla Plaid?
No.
What?
I.
But like
no
car is going to be faster than it.
It doesn't.
No,
it doesn't matter how fast it is.
It's about the experience.
It's about like you're driving literally a car. Like what is
you're
there?
Connected to it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
That
and
too.
I understand that, but mm-hmm. there's something to be said about going so fast, your socks could literally fly off.
But you could do that in like a McLaren or a Lambo.
No, but the plaid will still smoke a McLaren. It's still
Hoonigan's proof.
Hoonigan tried it.
I mean, we're in Canada, so who's really going that fast over here?
Yeah, you can't really do anything.
Can't do shit.
Not this time of year. Nope. Can't get away with much.
If it means I can go up against Lyndon at a light and just tear the shit out of him, go into the next one, then like I feel like that's worth some money.
Yeah.
Towards a Tesla.
I don't know about
And all
that.
You gotta do is throw a set of wheels on it.
No, you're still driving a Tesla at the end of the day. I don't know.
It's for a different kind of owner.
Definitely. Yeah. Like simplicity and.
Mm-hmm. It's more, I wouldn't say refined, but more so like further engineered. It's like there's less involved in it.
It's just
in terms of
a
ownership.
Comfortable way of driving. Yeah. Basically. There's nothing wrong with them. Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, they're nice cars, they're like innovative cars, but it's just not my piece of cake.
Not your piece of cake. So, no, so you said you like the 850, right?
Yeah.
850. So what do you think about the new 8 series?
Oh my God. That's.
What's new with the 8 series?
The new 8 series.
It's new. Like, they're so beautiful.
The grills and all that stuff.
They're
you like
so
them?
Beautiful.
What, like the same, the M4 sort of grill, right?
Yeah, like the M8. Have you seen what it looks
like? Like the new version of the 8 series.
I don't even think so.
Yeah, you're a
little. I think
bit,
I must have.
You must have seen it at
yeah,
some
I must
point.
Have. Yeah. I do like the M8s though.
They're my favorite right now. Like in terms of the new models that came out.
They're beautiful.
They're so beautiful. Yeah.
But I also
so
like the
aggressive.
New M4s with the big, I'm a big fan of the new kidney grills.
I love the new grill.
Yeah,
I love
them.
Like, a lot of people have hate for it, but I don't know.
At first, before I saw one in person, I wasn't a fan. And then when I went to, I forget where it is in Toronto, they had one.
Yeah.
They had like two of them sitting outside.
Yeah.
Instead of the BMW dealership. And I went up and looked at both of them and they had that weird green color. Like I did not like it.
No.
And
that's, I feel like that was like a marketing fail on their part because 100%. If you saw like the two models, like the black and red, those two, like the new grills with those colors was just insane.
I agree with you. Yeah. But even the slate black. Gray, like the dark gray that they have. Oh,
anything but beautiful. That green color. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like an eggshell green. I don't know what they were thinking.
I know a guy who specifically wanted it. I don't know if it's called Stingray green. I don't know
it
what
could
it
be
is.
That, yeah.
But I know he got the M3 in that color. It was the first green one in Canada.
I'm not a fan.
And he chose it. And I was like,
out of all the colors.
Out of all the colors. All the really nice this. Colors. Yeah.
Why? Yeah,
because it's different. I guess it stands out.
But they
more.
Drive really nice too.
Yeah, somehow I managed to see a already like ricered new M3 at one of the meets.
See, I like
I'm
it when they
say,
do that.
Yeah,
I like
you
it,
like that, eh?
Dude. When they pimp out and make them like so ugly and disgusting,
oh,
like a new like BMW. Oh, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like a big dirty wing on
I
a new M4.
Only
like, it looks like it could fly.
No, that one had like that. That one had like LED lights along the hood.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what was going on. And like, you know, those fake carbon fiber strips.
I've seen that one.
Oh.
I've seen that one.
You seen that one in like a bunch of stickers.
I think it's a girl that owns it.
Yeah. I don't want to get into like,
yeah, but
too much into detail.
Yeah. But
that's not how
I saw
feeling.
It.
It was a girl.
I saw it and I was wondering, okay, but then,
what
you know, all right, it's an M4. Wait, I don't have one, so.
Yeah.
It's a new M4?
It was a brand new one.
So how do you have money for a brand new M4, but not real carbon?
It's all about taste.
Yeah, honestly, money can't buy shit with taste.
But, like, to that person, that's what that person wants, right? So, like,
And that's the thing, like, it's kind of funny when you look at it that way, but it's also nice when you have like a variety of cars. Like it's a brand new M4 with this different look. I mean, you'll never really see that if everyone does the same thing.
It
so.
Definitely raises the eye. It catches the eye, you know? Mm. It's interesting.
It's nice when you see different shit at car meets and like how versatile it is.
There's a lot, there's a lot of interesting builds and a lot of interesting cars. I was at one in Oakville fairly recently, just before the winter. And it was all, I was surprised because it was all older BMWs, like all like E30s, E36s.
Yeah.
And I rolled up and I was like, wow, this is surprising. Like a lot.
There's a lot.
More than what I was used to seeing out in our area.
A lot of people now, like they're trying to buy the E30s and build them. Cause
it's a beautiful chassis.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
A beautiful generation.
What would you say is one of the coolest cars you've seen at like a car meet that really stuck out?
The coolest car?
Yeah. Are you?
Oh God. Both?
What do you think?
There's so many.
There are so many.
We're
and that's
in Toronto.
The thing.
There's so many.
And that's the thing, because we like cars. We're like, oh my God, every car is so good at doing that thing.
I think it's Elvin Long. Is that his name?
The M4?
Have you seen that? The F82 M4? Elvin Long's wide body.
It's amazing.
It's like...
You saw it in person?
Oh, was it like a gray? Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah.
You saw it in person?
That's sick.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah. Like his videos, his Instagram, I always see the pictures and I'm like, bro... Like, I need to see this car in person. Bring it by.
There's so many builds. I'm trying to think of.
Anything that has a BMW logo.
Anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Including the M4 with fake arrow.
It's okay. We respect all builds, you know?
Yeah, including the 46s.
All right. I'm curious. What got you into cars to begin with?
So.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that started when I had my first car. So my dad actually got me my first car. It was a 1997 328i. So it was an E36. And after that, I just fell in love. I was always more of like a tomboy. Mm-hmm. I always liked cars, motorcycles, guns, shit like that. I have my gun license.
The
cool shit.
The dope shit.
Yeah.
The fun things.
The fun shit, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's what really got me, like, I would say mostly into Beamers.
Yeah.
I'm like, I drove the E36. I'm like, I want that.
Mm.
How long did you have that car for?
I would say about 2 years.
2 years?
Two years. Yeah. And then I got the E46.
The E46 is nice. That was the one with the snake wrap and
no, so I've actually had three E46s.
Three E46s. So that's where the nickname comes from.
Basically.
I'm catching on that.
The first one was a sedan. Mm-hmm. It was the one that was like blue, like toothpaste blue.
Okay.
With the carbon fiber hood.
Mm-hmm.
And the trunk. So that was my first build. And then the second one was the one with the snake. It was a coupe, 330 CI.
Is that the black?
That's a nice car.
The black one?
That's like the one step below the M3, right?
Basically, yeah. And my most recent one was the M-Tech, which is kind of like a ZHP E46. Okay, yeah. So it's like one up higher.
Yeah, it's like M-Package.
Basically, it's like the M-Package of the E46s back in the day.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah.
Stick?
Yeah, manual for sure.
Nice.
My last two were manual.
That's pretty cool.
Mm. I mean, if you're driving an E46, I think it should be manual.
How much horsepower do they have stock?
About
260, 270 probably. Maybe 240.
Realistically, like 245.
Does it hold
240.
Up?
Oh, it does.
Oh, yeah.
The torque on it is actually really...
The experience is actually pretty nice. Like it's
the best.
It's balanced.
It's the best. It's so...
You feel in control.
Driver-oriented.
If it's manual, right? I feel like the 260 horsepower would like... Or 245 would go a lot farther in like being enjoyable. Like
it's just like... That's literally my favorite BMW model because of just the sheer like driving pleasure that you get from driving that car and like feeling connected to what you're driving.
Mm. So I actually don't know anything about these cars, to be honest. So like what years are these cars like?
So they range from 1999, I think, to 2005, I believe, is the last E46. I might be mistaken. I might be like 1 year off. But yeah.
So it's like the
2005.
You get lots of road feel, lots of like throttle feedback, things like that.
Definitely.
Is that why it's so?
No, so E90 was the last generation. They had the power steering.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
E46 is just the way the car is. I don't know, like the whole design of the car is just strictly about the driver, and they're basically track cars.
Yeah.
And drift cars. Whenever you see someone drifting or like a drift show or
it's
drift
always
competition,
like a E46.
It's
or,
always
you know,
an E46.
Yeah, just like a really like capable, controllable
very,
car.
And they're very heavy. Like they're very sturdy. They stick to the
they're
ground.
Planted,
so
and affordable. For the most part.
Now they're getting really expensive.
Yeah, they're going up.
I don't know how it's
the
crazy.
M3s are.
They're going up.
Yeah.
They are going up. If
that's
you
actually
have,
something I want to get into is. A bit about the used car market and BMWs.
If you have any of those, like E90, E36, E46 right now, it's an investment technically.
100%, yeah. Definitely an investment. Before I was looking at Hamza's, I was looking at a E92 M3. No, sorry, E93 M3. So it was a drop top.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was a 2011. I was so close to getting it. the guy wanted like $19,000 for it. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then he decided he wanted to keep it.
And so now it's probably like 30K.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The best decision that guy ever made.
Yeah. Just to keep the car.
Those cars sound beautiful.
They do. They're my favorite, like, to build other than the E46, like a 335 single turbo build.
Yeah. My friend Mo has a supercharged E90.
Nice.
And those things are nuts.
They're crazy.
Yeah. I have a question, a thinking thought.
What's that?
Maybe. Something I'm curious about your guys' thoughts on. So, for example, I was looking at this AMG GTR. It was 2016, and the guy was asking like 126K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had just put in, I think like that summer before he was trying to sell it, like a summer ago, $105,000 US mm-hmm. into parts and like tuning and like, oh my God, this thing is like pimped out.
Yeah.
So he's basically valuing the car at less than 26 grand.
What do you mean?
This 2016 AMG GTR, because he like already put in 105K parts, right? But it's aftermarket.
Right.
Oh, and they have zero value for resale.
Yeah, mods. So, no value.
Yeah, mods don't really affect.
Right. So is it just people's love of like a certain car that they're willing to like basically throw their money into a pit that has no like. Well, because to keep their classic cars, you know, the low horsepower, to keep it stock, that's an investment, right?
Right.
Keep your classic car clean, you can sell it later.
Right.
But people who, like, you know, modify them to make it how they want lose all value in the car.
Not always, I feel. There's always someone out there that would respect that and or appreciate that, that would look at that and be like, okay, cool, I don't have to do the work.
Right.
This is what I want. Mm-hmm. But that is also hard to find.
But still, it's like, the reason...
It's making it a niche.
The price is still lower than a like so it's usually the same as like a stock.
If it had service records, I would view that as a steal. I personally
wouldn't buy a build.
Right.
I'm kind of against that, but it depends what kind of build it is, what kind of mods it is. Like, I feel like if it's like engine, then hey, why not?
Yeah.
But I feel like more for looks. If you buy someone's build, you're buying what they envision that car to look like.
I see. I agree with that. I see like I other people's like really unique builds. And I'm like, if I bought that, that would be their car that I'm driving.
Exactly.
It wouldn't feel like mine.
That's why you got to make it yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think is like the best BMW out now? New version.
Right now, definitely the M8.
The M8, yeah, for sure.
It's the best looking.
It's the most expensive, right?
Most expensive.
Yeah, right.
Fastest,
power-wise.
Biggest, coolest.
Yeah.
What do you think is the worst BMW ever?
The 2 Series or the M2s.
Huh?
Anything of 2 Series M2s. This is very unpopular.
Your favorite car is the 228 XI?
That's your favorite car?
No, that's yours. The N20, the best BMW engine ever made.
Listen. Listen, they made the 1 Series, and that's where they should have kept it.
You think so, eh?
I don't know why they would ever think to go to the 2 Series.
Well, they have a front-wheel drive variant in Europe.
Man, who gives a shit? They look like shit. Their engines
are... So you're not a fan of the M2 comps?
No. Wow. Not at all.
That's crazy. That's the first time I've ever
definitely
heard that.
Definitely not.
Or the last time I'll ever
heard that. I don't think anyone else hates the 2 Series as much as I do.
And why? Yeah. You think it's like just...
I think it's a model that they made just to kind of cover a certain... what's that word? Like population or like...
Demographic?
Demographic, yeah. Thank you. It's just a model that
they
wanted.
People who like good cars?
Have you driven one?
No. But that doesn't matter.
Okay, but here's the thing.
I've driven a 1 Series.
Yeah, the 1 Series.
Those things are small and fast.
Right, but Lyndon, would you not agree the M2 is probably... I haven't driven one, but
M2
from what I hear...
M2 Competition is, in my opinion, one of the best balanced vehicles.
The best driving coupes?
Yes.
Probably best driving vehicles ever, maybe?
In my opinion, yes. And I've driven an E46 M3.
No, but you could say like an Audi TT or a TT RS.
No, but people don't say that. Who says that? I've never heard that.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Or you're looking at like...
TTRS is quattro.
Yeah.
All-wheel drive. M2CS is
rear-wheel
drive.
Yeah, but it's an M2.
Different car.
But
same shape, same size. Our feelings are hurt.
The things I've heard are just completely opposite.
A lot of people are like, what?
No, I'm down for the debate. I like it. I like that.
I just feel like they're an unnecessary model that they just, they wanted to put out, again, to fill out a demographic and
so
create. I think it was a necessary.
I don't think it was necessary at
the
all.
Mercedes C-Class, the coupes, those are all useless?
That's like a CLA, and I think CLA should be gone.
I like the CLA 45.
No.
But like, what about Miatas?
Oh, come on. Are you really comparing a Miata to...
Yeah, it's a coupe. But
it's
like...
It's a two-door coupe.
Huh?
It's a two-door coupe, yeah.
Okay, but see, a Miata is like a staple within like...
So is M2, though, in modern cars.
M2 came out of nowhere,
maybe,
I agree.
Maybe like 100 years from now, I'll look at a 2 Series. Maybe I might appreciate it. Right. But right now, definitely not. Like
You gotta drive one first.
But I feel like it's... It's like driving a 1 Series or a 3. I've driven every other series. So is it really that different?
It's like driving a 135 single turbo. It's like driving, exactly like driving that.
Okay, so why couldn't they just keep it?
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah, but
and now the they evolution. Look like, did you see the new models?
The evolution.
Did you see what they look like?
The new 2 Series?
Yeah.
The new M240i, I'm a big fan of.
That's crazy.
Now, but hear me out. Stock, they don't look the best. Like, when I look at that car,
I envision
when slammed. Slam, a little bit of camber, you know.
No.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know enough about these. I'm just playing devil's advocate because I like the debate.
They're nice cars, but I see where she's coming from.
I just feel like they're unnecessary and that they could have evolved the 1 Series to be,
you know. Could have created more behind.
Exactly. But isn't the 1 Series supposed to be like the entry level?
No, one BMW? Series. So the one, or the one series.
Technically, the 2 Series is entry level.
Yeah, I mean.
And I also feel like they made that so that it's like an affordable BMW to buy.
The 2 Series, yeah. Well, like the lower tiers, like the 228, the 230, yeah. the 235.
No, but even
so you're talking all 2 Series, not just M class, M2. Well,
like, but even like a M240 or M2.
That's a nice car.
They go for like 40K or 30K.
Anything
40K.
With a B58.
Yeah.
Is a monster.
Just not on a 2 Series.
340?
Yeah.
Beautiful cars.
Yeah, they are.
They are very beautiful and fast.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Is it because like you can't fit like a full sheet of vinyl in the back of a coupe?
Could be why. Yeah.
It's a bunch of reasons.
There's a bunch of reasons.
The fold down seats of
the hate
M3.
Is real.
Yeah. It is.
So,
I hate them.
So question for you then. This true decision maker. 350Z or sorry, 370Z or a 2 Series?
370Z.
Whoa.
Anything. I see where you're coming from. Like, it's...
A VQ? Really?
Ooh, that's...
And VQ?
Those motors, VQ family.
Those motors are terrible.
Have you seen Instagram?
Okay, are we talking about motors and looks or just looks?
Overall. Package.
Obviously, I would say the M2. If we're taking
Thank you.
In...
Thank you.
If we're taking in overall, but looks... Definitely anything over that.
Okay. Fair enough. It's not always about the looks. And this is what I tell people about the new M3 and M4s.
It's not.
They're not supposed to necessarily be a beautiful looking vehicle, but it's supposed to, its presence is supposed to be like, it's supposed to catch your eye.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's more aesthetically like a bulldog. Like bulldogs are cute, but they're aggressive looking animals, right?
It's a good analogy.
It's an aggressive looking car where it's not necessarily supposed to be pretty.
But there's a lot of ugly. Have you seen like the GTs? They're like the.
Which GT?
Like a 5 Series GT.
Oh, yes.
It's like the hatchback / sedan
type
of look.
We have a 335 GT outside right
People
now.
People think they're really ugly, but I like them.
Do you really?
Yeah. They're not the best looking BMW from the back.
That over a 2 Series?
Yeah. Anything.
Good old head shake. But see, that's where debate and conversation is good. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have our opinions, right?
Of course.
Like, I love an M4 with fake aero. And, you know, I love to, you know, put a...
At the end of the day, everyone can appreciate a BMW, but there's... Just that model pisses me off, that's all.
I hear you. I hear you. For me, it's probably... I would say the 6 Series. Like, the...
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Wow.
Worst?
Wow.
Not a fan.
Okay.
Not a fan.
It seems to be, honest, I think that is the irrelevant class because like there's a 7 Series. What's the difference between an M5 and the 7?
Oh,
my apologies. I stand corrected. The 7 Series is the worst BMW ever made.
Okay. The 7 Series did go through a lot of shitty design eras, like those backlights is like that one strip.
If you've ever had to work on one or see somebody work on one.
Let's not talk about maintenance and mechanics. Oh, maintenance, shit.
Going on with those. I know a customer that bought an aftermarket warranty with his car, and the warranty company spent like $27,000 or $28,000 in like 3 years on that customer's car.
Basically, if someone's not driving you in the 7 Series, don't get one.
I agree.
If you're not getting driven in that car,
you should. You don't deserve one.
Just don't get it. There's no point. You go through more shit than.
I feel like they're better off leased than they are owned. Yeah, and they shouldn't be owned after 5 years, anyways. Unless like it's like a classic 7 Series.
They're just like, oh yeah, no, the classics. Yeah.
Classics are always different. Nice. Yeah.
For both of you, a question: what's like a good tip? Maybe your unique tip for buying a used car? Maybe something someone hasn't heard before. Something that only you maybe you figured out.
A unique tip?
Or maybe your number one key to finding like a good deal.
Low mileage.
Really?
Right.
Low mileage.
The classic rollback.
You gotta watch out.
Uno reverse card. I got you.
Not just that. Like, I feel like something that you don't always look out for is who was owning that car. Especially if it's a car that you really want to care for. It's different if it's like a winter beater, you're just looking for any car, whatever, who gives a shit. But if it's like something that you, it's going to be kind of closer to your heart, or you're going to build or turn into something.
History is important.
History is really important because the way they took care of it says a lot about how it's going to treat you at the same time. And it's like, to me, the relationship that someone had with their car before they sell it is actually really important for me.
What if it was someone who really loved their car, was probably driving their car aggressively, but took care of it. Oil changes, new parts.
And see, that's where...
good maintenance.
That's where I feel like a modified car... It is always hit or miss, but I feel more confident purchasing either a modified car than I would a car from, like, just say an older individual that dealer serviced their car only because they follow the dealer 14 or 12K oil change intervals.
Right. I don't know. It depends. Like, you're not going to run into problems with the stock car as much as you might run into the modified car at the same time.
It's a part of the journey.
So your tip is...
It depends.
Like knowing the person who's selling the car will tell you more about the car.
Yeah.
And that's what you go off of.
Paperwork as well. Receipts.
And what would you say is your tip?
Obviously the best deal. You got to get a good deal. And pre-purchase inspection.
Pre-purchase.
Like, yeah, get your car inspected.
Get the car inspected before you spend. If you're spending over $5,000 on a car, have somebody who knows what they're doing inspect it.
Before I got the E46, this last one. So after my accident, I was looking for something else, and I was going to get one of my favorite models is the 07 650. They're like the, you're going to laugh at me, of course. They're like the ones with those taillights that are, I don't know. Yeah, know. You probably know what I'm talking about. And
you didn't get it?
Those cars have a lot of problems.
I know they do.
A lot of problems. The 6 Series are crazy. So I was pretty settled on it, and I wanted to take it for a test drive. At the same time, I was going to take it to the BMW dealer because it was like a private dealership.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to make sure this car is good.
Did they let you take it to the dealer?
They did, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I took it to BMW. And, you know, obviously, like, dealerships try to tell you there's more shit wrong with the car than there typically is just to make a little bit more money. But that service came back with 11 pages. It was 11 pages of like really
11 big. Red flags.
No, it was way more than 11. No, like each page had like a list of things that were wrong.
Oh my.
So I went back. I'm like, here you go, man.
Nice car, but no thank you.
Not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. See, like when I got mine, I got all the service records, which was nice. And his sister-in-law owned the car. So like all the records from you. And like I just knew, I'm like, okay, cool, this car's been taken care of, and here I am, almost 300,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
Your car is great because, and that's the thing. That's what like if you were trying to sell your car and I looked at that, I'd be like, I'm not buying that. You probably abuse the crap out of it.
And I do.
Right, but and then there's argument to be made that you know you get your oil changed very regularly, you get new parts when they need to be fixed, and like literally the day a problem arises, you get it fixed because you work at a shop.
Exactly.
You know? Access, so your car is actually, not abused. It's just like
taken care of.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm.
And they're meant to be driven like that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
If you don't drive it like that, actually, you'll run into problems if you don't.
The longer
don't.
They sit. Mm.
I used to work at a dealership, and a lot of people, that was actually a really big issue because they wouldn't break it in. You know, you're supposed to break it.
They wouldn't put the worse it is.
And even with the pedal to the metal. Like,
yeah.
One thing with us here is that with COVID, people weren't driving their cars.
Right.
And they would bring their cars in for, like, once things started opening up again, they'd bring their cars in for service. And we'd be like, yeah, you need brakes. And they were like, well, I just did them before COVID. I haven't driven much at all. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why. Because your rotors are completely almost rotting away.
Basically.
Yeah.
And there was a lady that didn't, she didn't push like her, I think she had an M6, I think. It was like either like a top line 6 series or an M6. I remember I was working at the dealership.
She definitely abused that car.
And no, she didn't. That was the problem. She was having issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the mechanics were like, you are not driving this car the way it's supposed to be driven.
Yeah.
You have to push the engine to a certain level or else you're going to have like...
issues, yeah.
Problems, basically.
That's another thing is someone who like, you know, like lots of people think, oh, maybe perhaps lady driven... don't know the value of their car.
That's the best thing that I get. When I sell a car, you know, I just say lady driven, but they don't really know the backstory of it. But
a lot of what comes with like not knowing, like say you're buying from someone who doesn't know a lot about cars is like perhaps like negligence. And like they're tired of like taking care of it.
Yeah. I feel like there is a stigma there or there's like, what would the right word be? Like, saying lady driven into some people that might just be like, oh, that car wasn't taken care of properly.
Yeah.
Right. And it's unfortunate, but a lot
I mean, in most cases it's true.
I feel like it's been symbolic of
honestly,
even like,
yeah.
of just like maybe light highway usage, commuting. I feel like it's been like used in that sense, just in general.
With the lady driven thing, it's also a hit or miss too, because there's some, you know, with generally speaking, with females, like, you know, either they're taking care of the car or they're not pushing it as much typically. But obviously with guys in the car scene or whatever,
I've seen some pretty interesting things done by guys.
Well.
Like in the car scene. Yeah. And like just male car owners, what they've done to their vehicles. Like I know of a guy, unfortunately, and if he's watching it, I'm very sorry, but he put DEF fluid in his diesel tank. And to fix it properly, it's like probably like $8,000 to $10,000 on his ML.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, like.
And with both, whether it's female driven or guy driven, if there's a problem, there's a problem. Yeah. I'm saying it depends on who.
If you
who
don't
sells.
Know what you're doing though, as like an owner, just take it to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, don't try 100%. And save money because you're always gonna screw yourself. Always.
I have a tip for my used car purchases. I was just thinking about it. If you ever have a car and you're selling, or if you've ever sold anything for a good deal, how fast does it sell? That day? Right away? Usually? If it's like an amazing deal, you get rid of it ASAP because someone is there to buy it from you.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
My thing is like, if you want to buy a car and like you're set, you can't just look once a day. You can't even just look like you
impulse buys. Is that what you're saying? Like buy it impulsively right away, like one day looking buy a car?
Like
or take your time.
Not take your time. I'd say just very consistent and even hourly.
Okay. Consistently and research, I would say.
I agree.
Yeah, like you have to be looking at least 2 to 3 times a day or you're gonna miss that deal.
Yep.
You could miss a deal, yeah.
Like out of like,
especially in today's market, like,
oh
my
gosh, everything is like atrociously priced.
Yeah,
like atrociously priced.
Like, I religiously look every day.
I saw 2015 328 for sale for like $26,000, or like $150K on it.
There's E46s going for $40,000, like M3s.
Yeah, but you're just like, what is going on in this world?
Canada.
Because there's going to be the one person.
Inflation. Chip shortage. Inflation.
Yeah. Chip shortage, yeah.
There's going to be the one person, whether it's like the rich asshole or someone who just doesn't have enough time and just literally wants it gone or like needs the money right now, who is going to post it up and then is going to just make a deal with someone on the spot, because someone is going to see that and just be like, hey, here, let's meet like today. I have the money in cash. Like, let's go. And it could be a matter of like 5 minutes, 30 minutes. And yeah, you miss the deal of a lifetime for always, the car that you really wanted.
Those who always, you know, do their due diligence, do their research, you know, do that hard work, they always end up ahead in life anyways, usually right. In any regard, right? Like, whether it's your job, whether it's, you know, looking for a car, anything. Yeah. Like, you do your work, you do your research, you know, you work 10 times harder than the other person, you look 10 times harder than the next person, you're going to get what you want.
Yeah. 100%.
Eventually.
And right. Sometimes it comes down to luck, too.
You think luck?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you might not check for like a month and then one day you'll check and you'll see, oh, there's the car that car. I want.
Yeah.
Mm. Depends.
The M or the 850i, 850c.
850c.
All right. Yeah. I have a question, switching it up. Mm. In as like the car community is like, you know, mostly guys. As a girl, like, do you have any tips for, you know, female enthusiasts trying to get into the car community?
Definitely.
Like, was it tricky navigating or like getting into it?
It couldn't have been easy.
Feeling accepted?
I mean, when you're a girl, obviously there's like the upsides because you're a girl.
The thirst.
Thirst is real. It's there.
Yeah, for sure.
That is honestly the downside to being a girl in the community, because there are some girls who, to be honest with you, they are there just for the attention. Mm-hmm. They like it. They're not, I wouldn't say a real car enthusiast.
But you know what? So are some of the guys. For the attention.
Yeah. From who? Other guys?
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. Like, there's girls out there who actually just want to see the cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are just there for the cars. You know, they don't really care about all the other shit. And it gets really annoying, you know, when it's, like, constantly someone trying to hit on you or whatever it is.
Right. Because as a guy, person. You can pull up to any car meet and just like go and look at the cars. You don't have to talk to anyone unless you make yourself known and talk to people and like, get to know everyone.
For you, you would just show up and then there would be like...
Yeah, basically.
There, yeah.
Mm.
And it's another thing too to like work in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of separate than just like from going
Which
to
is a, also difficult.
It is. Yeah. That's even more difficult.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because I feel like a lot of people feel like they can step over you.
Yeah, or like she's gonna wrap my car.
Yeah.
Or,
oh yeah.
Are you the receptionist? I'm sure you know, you get that sort of energy from some people.
100%. Yeah. 100%. They kinda like downplay you because you're a female.
Exactly. When
ideally, I mean, technically girls pay more attention to detail.
For sure. Hands down. That's 100% correct.
So more like than guys typically.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. But at the end of the day, both females or males, you could be really good at what you're doing.
Or really bad. Yeah.
So that's kind of the short end.
It's just a male-dominated like culture
it is.
And
it is,
work environment for
sure.
It
definitely gets in the way of like working.
Mm-hmm. And it changes the way you probably deal with things. And
100%. I always now like, always make sure of things.
Think twice. And
think
always,
twice. Yeah. Always.
Mm. What's... possibly the most I think you've answered this already maybe in another one. What's the most hurtful thing someone said about your car at any given time? Something that stung a bit maybe.
Nothing really stings for
me. It really
me.
Stuck with you. Nothing stings for... Nothing
no,
stings?
I don't really give a shit what people have to say. I'm very confident like...
Yeah.
And because to me, cars are not about money. And that's what it always comes down to. Like, oh, your car's cheap. Or, oh, you're on your third E46. What is it? You can't afford something. Mm-hmm. Something more expensive or, you know, just shit like that. It's always about money. And that's one of the biggest things that I hate about being in the car scene is that it's always so money focused.
I can attest to that too. Cause it's like, people have told me, well, why didn't you just buy an M3?
Literally.
Like, yeah. Well, because I didn't. That's
because
why.
I love what I'm driving, you know, and it doesn't matter what the fuck you drive. And people fail to realize that like there's people with better, I don't know if that moved. Mm-hmm. There's people with better like spirits that are driving cheap cars than someone who's driving. There was literally one situation that happened where this guy with a GTR, a brand new GTR, we were in a parking lot and one of my friends wanted to park his M4 next to his car. So he parks it and then the guy with the GTR is like, why do you think it's okay for you to park here?
Ew.
Your car is like basically not expensive enough to be parking next to the GTR when it's a freaking M4.
Yeah, I disagree.
I'd rather drive the M4 anyways.
Right? So like yeah, there's always these Euros people and I... Go. That's another thing with guys is they think...
It's ego
and like, oh, I got a nice car. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't really give a shit.
I get that all the time too. It's like, why would you pick that wrap? Well, because I did.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's wrap or whether it's your fitment or...
Yeah.
Whatever it is, like recently I had a really big fitment on my last E46 because mm-hmm. I was rushing to get to Eurocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like... Anyways, it was poking out a little too
there,
much.
Yeah.
And they're like, what, are you going off-roading with the E46? I'm like, yeah, I am.
Some
so
people
what?
Like it though,
what
know?
If I want to go off-roading with my E46?
Oh, when the tires stick out past the fenders?
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it too.
I like that.
Yeah, but the thing is, it wasn't cambered yet because I didn't. Okay. I was like, I still
like the look of that. That yeah. Jaguar outside yeah. has that a bit. Yeah, and I think it looks cool. Yeah.
And like E46s are not skinny. They're pretty thick built mm-hmm. cars, especially like three, like coupes yeah. more than the sedans. It wasn't like a bad look, but people always have something to say.
Always.
Whatever
yeah.
you do.
And I feel like they probably had more to say because you're a female to engage in conversation, yeah. right?
Definitely.
It's that to put you one level below them and step into yeah. the conversation.
Or they feel like they're trying to give you advice when it's yeah. like, buddy, I already know what I'm doing. I don't need you to tell me
they
what
they downplay
looks good,
what you, yeah. I can see that for sure. Like, I have a lot of female friends in the car community and that work in the industry. And
yeah.
They always say that, you know, like before they are able to open their mouth mm-hmm. or say anything, that there's always like remarks or, you know, they're instantly there's something that's picked out that's downplayed, right? And then that engages the conversation. And I feel like it's not the right way to go about things as a,
definitely
as a man
not.
Interacting with a woman.
And they think like all girls in the scene are hoes.
Objects, not humans, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
That's... So annoying. Mm.
It's a big thing. It's a big thing. But
very
I think
irritating.
That's just because it's such male dominated. And when there is a female with the interest, like it's just like.
Well, I'd say that goes wrong for like any industry. If it's like mostly one gender and then like another very small like minority or population, it's like it's always.
They
like
just
that.
They get surprised when they see that a girl actually knows what she's doing mm-hmm.
and knows like, what she's talking about.
Yeah,
like you're talking about fitment and this and that.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, okay. Well.
I mean, a lot of guys think it's just cool, mm-hmm. you know, and there's the good side of that. But
yeah, there's a good mix. Out
this
there.
Brings me to my next thing. So you mentioned you've traveled a bunch of places.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've witnessed maybe some amount of the car scene in those different places. And like, how does it like compare? How does it differ?
To be honest, I didn't expect this, but I got a little bit of a taste of the car scene in California, and I actually like our car scene better.
Really?
Yeah.
And why is that?
It's maybe because of it's like more of like a home feeling. Not like
comfort.
Not like because it's Canada, but the actual car scene itself. I feel like we're more, I don't know, close.
What
if
do you
that
think?
Makes
what
sense.
Do you think it's the scene out there is more geared towards, or is
the
more
scene
about?
Out there is just really fancy cars, really expensive cars, or it's kind of like one or the other.
Mm.
Like either just sometimes there's meets with like all fancy shit. And then there's other meets where it's just like
camber boys.
And basically.
Yeah. Interesting.
But
I get what you mean about like the familiar sort of feeling that you get from Toronto car meets.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like some meets more than others, some places in Toronto. Like I remember like the first car meet that I pulled up to like with my camera and I started filming and then a bunch of people just came up to me like, mm-hmm. oh, like blah, blah, blah. I love your camera. And I made friends with some people and they're like, oh, come shoot my car.
That's what I mean.
I don't feel like,
yeah.
I couldn't, like, cause I've been to LA before and I've seen like, you know, stuff on social media. It doesn't seem like it would be like that at all.
No, that's exactly what I mean. Like more familiar as in people are nice, more so.
More welcoming.
More welcoming, yeah. Like people actually engage and interact with each other.
Mm.
Over there, I guess what I mean is like, oh, I have a nice car, I have a fancy car, you know, like everyone's got money. And
it's about the flex.
It's them flexing it, basically. But yeah. the actual, you know, like the community, the car scene community.
Is less connected.
It's less connected than Toronto.
It's more materialistic.
Yeah. For sure. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's usually not the case, eh? Toronto's usually the less connected city.
Surprisingly, though, in that, like, compared to California, we're actually...
A lot more grounded.
I feel like, even though we have our own problems, but...
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, Moody, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you for being our guest.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Moody E46.
Yeah, stay tuned, guys, for the...
Stay tuned for tuning in. On tuning in?
See you next week.
See you next week.